boys are back in town.
Hi, you might know me from the ever-popular throwing Serpentico into people on AEW Dynamite. Or maybe it's the timeless classic throwing Serpentico on top of people on AEW Dark. Or maybe it's from my new show on YouTube, Luther's World of Cryptids, Ghosts, and the Unexplained. But you might know me better as one half of the Chaos Project and two-time Deddy winner, Luther. The boys are in the his ass and they're going to talk about some sweet wrestling today at Deadlock, episode 84. Some sweet AEW Dynamite action, which you yourself can watch on TNT every Wednesday night. And then they're going to jump into a time machine. Now we're talking. They're going to go back to the year 2006. And they're going to watch some TNA Impact action and tell you all about it. So all you hog dippers and deadlockites, let me see you raise it up and give it up.
The boys are back in town. Welcome back, everybody, to the Deadlock episode, the 84. We're back again. How about that?
Hey, how about it?
Yeah, guess what? You already know what we're talking about. I want to give a big thank you to Mista Luther for doing
big
that gimmick
Luthor.
For us. Yeah. That was really cool of him, man.
Luther
that was
gang,
awesome.
Luther gang.
Before we get into everything, let's talk about some updates real quick. Watch This number 27 went up on Patreon. We watched WrestleMania 2000, the Hardcore Championship Scramble.
What a choice.
What a mess.
Wow.
What a
this
mess.
This was a wild match. Have you never seen it? It's crazy.
It was even more ridiculous than I thought it would be.
If you want to watch Bradshaw just hit someone with a fan.
Really hard.
Yeah. There's so many liberties taken in this match. It is incredible.
And it's an all-timer finish as well, too.
Also, SGH Live number 11 for the longest yard went up. So if you guys were not there for that
Schemo.
One, you can check that out. The whole thing's up already.
Big work in James getting it done, getting it out there for you Deadlockites on the Patreon. All 1,100 of you. That's right.
Crazy.
That's a big number.
Also, big thank you to everyone who bought a Jackass tee for April Fool's Day.
Oh, hell yeah. I knew you Deadlockites would come through, baby.
I can't believe it actually got greenlit and sold and people bought it. Wow.
Scam the system.
Just an update real quick. Merchandise is starting to get packed up for the last few drops, so expect some emails with
Let's
tracking
go, baby.
Very, very hell soon yeah. if you haven't already seen. Also, want to give a shout out real quick to everybody on the Reddit. It's the 1 year anniversary of the Deadlock subreddit.
Never forget.
Couldn't have picked a better time.
1 year. Wow. There's been a lot of great stuff that's coming. A lot of creative fuckers on that thing.
Absolutely. Mangy Time made a Remember 331 video.
Okay. Hold on. Now, we have to. If you have not seen this video, all these videos are worth watching, but this one it's short. And it just is legit. It is actually unbelievable, this fucking
video. I was crying, like legit tears.
I don't think you should say anything. I think you should just direct people to watch.
We all watched it together, and we're laughing the whole time. So that, if that tells you anything.
Want to Make a Scary Movie made a Silent Night, Deadly Night sync video and did a sync video for the first SmackDown that we talked about.
I love those, man. I love those videos.
David made a This Is Fake Undertaker sync video.
Benghazi.
That's an all-time for me, I think.
Yes, I think so, too.
Vacant Crossface also made a OSW-style video for the Rock concert episode, which
that's
is cool.
Really cool. Oh, and, like, really OSW good. Gave a shout-out to it, too. That was a shout-out to the boys at OSW. Yeah, it was really cool. Really well done. And it got taken down, but then he fought the law.
Yeah.
And the law lost. The
Let
law
him know.
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah, 331. It came back again.
Never forget. Hope you all had a great 331, by the way. Hopefully you...
remembered.
Took a moment to remember. Oh, Stone Cold.
Hope you got yourself koozie. Good job, Jackass shirt. Yeah, also, shouts out to Razor for the Deadlock lore guide.
Hey. Good stuff over there. That's a Twitter, right? Or is that? I mean, he posted
it's
on the Reddit.
It's a Twitter
too,
and
I think
a Reddit
a,
and a doc, and it's everything pretty much.
He's
if you have any questions
like, he's
about...
Been, he's been on. Adding it right away. Like, when episodes go on, he'll add, like, the most recent lore so that he doesn't get fall behind.
So if you have any questions about lore... Ask that Twitter, or I guess you can ask us, but you ask that Twitter first.
Yeah. Redirect to the Twitter, they come back around.
Yeah.
And of course, we always want to give shouts outs to the $5 patrons, $10 patrons, $1 patrons, $100 patrons over at patreon.com/deadlockpw or deadlockpw.com/patreon. So let me give quick shouts out here. In the $1, we had JJ Rosso. $5, we had a Wave of Latria, Jared McComb. In the $5 2-cent tier, we had Deloitte. Or D'Lo Yeet. In the $8 tier, we had Robert Ray. In the $10 tier, we had Zachary Huto, Remy, NWO Style, for Life, Eric, Ben Lord, Jackson, Frank Lore, AJ's Rip Pants from TLC 2016, Bobby Guel. In the $12 tier, we had Danny M. And in the $18 tier, we had Simple Bidoofed. That man is doofed, which means, and still Patreon champion of the world, JP Weezy at $169.69.
JP Weezy back again.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you to everyone who continues to support this show. We love y'all, man. All right, let's get into TNA Impact from April 1st, 2006. This is the April Fool's Day episode of Impact,
but there ain't nothing funny about what Abyss did to Christian Cage.
Unbelievable, really, and that's really why we're watching this episode. But as always, when we pick a TNA show, it's not just that, is it?
There's so much more.
There's always a lot more.
How do they fit all this in 45 minutes?
That's really, I don't know, because there's a lot of memorable stuff from this episode.
60-minute adrenaline rush, boy.
Adrenaline rush.
Dude, they actually might be the perfect wrestling show. Like, they put it all together, and there's nothing left on the table.
There's so much range here, and it just immediately starts with Mike Tenay and Don West yelling.
Wow! Welcome to TNA!
If this was modern wrestling, the 60-minute show would just be one match, right?
Yeah, you're right. It would be. Everybody does everything, and then they shake hands. Time is a flat circle, though, man. TNA Impact at this point was moving to Thursday nights on April 13th, 2006. And now Impact Wrestling is moving to Thursday nights on April 8th, 2021.
I wrote that too. I was blown away that they were shilling at the whole show that they're moving to Thursdays. I was like, oh my God, wow.
Time is truly a flat circle, man. Everything comes back around. So we opened up the show, Team Canada. They are singing the Canadian anthem.
Oh, Canada.
They are celebrating because last week they buried those damn Dudleys, Team 3D, under the Canadian flag.
Team 3D comes to the ring, and Mike Tenay goes, they're waving the Team 3D Nation flag.
Tony, are you a part of the Team 3D Nation?
I thought it was in Latino Nation, but no.
I thought so, too. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm turning my back on Latino Nation. I'm going with Team 3D Nation.
No! I can't believe he did this.
Oh, my God.
Mike Tenay goes, look at Mr. Canadian Bacon himself, Scott D'Amour.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
He kept calling him that, too.
You're going to save the bacon.
The crowd's chanting, we want tables, so Team 3D is in. Hold on, we still got one more spot. They had to hit the 4D on Bobby Roode.
This is a long ass beatdown too. Like Bubba is in the crowd throwing Bobby Roode into a chair that the fan is holding.
That was really good.
Does the wise up and throws his head into Eric Young's dick and balls.
Dude, I love titties out Devon with the gold chain.
Why is Titty Devon just a TNA run thing? Because he doesn't do it after and he didn't do it before.
Yeah, he put the straps on at, like, this is like that next was level thinking.
Opposite Kurt Angle.
Yeah, he put the straps all on. He's like, I'm going to go crazy.
Eventually, Petey Williams and A1.
Woo! A1, we love that guy.
Come out to make the save. A1, name your favorite A1 match.
A1 versus Bubba...
the Dudleys.
Bubba Ray.
They try to put D'Amore through a table. Bobby Roode saves him. That's when Mike Tenay talks about saving the bacon. He says, oh, well, D'Amore's Canadian bacon.
They are so good on commentary, man.
Eric Young does, like, a really good looking moonsault over a table onto Bubba.
Oh, yeah. Eric Young, underrated work guy.
Yeah.
Always has been, man. Underrated work guy.
I was really surprised. I was like, holy shit. And not only that, then they put Devon on a table and Eric Young does a sweet diving elbow through it off the top.
Yeah. Petey came in and he did one of the best, like, top rope drop kicks I've ever seen. He did like an AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, yeah. How crazy was that? Like, it was real, like, under the radar.
And the crowd didn't even pop for it.
I know, there was so much going on.
That's because that fucker does a flip pile driver. He doesn't care about your drop kick.
Because that's a normal PD move. Yeah, that's like his normal move.
He did like an AJ Styles style drop kick.
It was real good.
Off the top rope. It was crazy. Yeah, it was so sick.
We talk, I feel like every time we do, I don't want to repeat myself, but god damn how many people owe that fucker money. God damn.
Petey should be world champion over and over and over a million times.
We talk about AMW erasure, no Petey Williams erasure on this show.
Yo,
we
fuck respect you, Petey. Man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, true. Also, Devon does the little seizure cell of after
he
the elbow
he has
drop,
to. He's either gonna bleed or do the seizure cell. There's only that, Devon's gotta get one of these two things in here.
I was saying Eric Young's elbow drop is like that. He was the one that mocapped that for the TNA game, right? Because that's exactly
that
what it.
It does look
know,
just like it.
It looked exactly right. Like the. I don't know if it was him that did it, but it looked exactly like the TNA one.
Bobby Roode was doing the Northern Lariat at this point, which was cool.
Oh, they didn't call it that on commentary though. They just called it the regular Lariat, I think. Oh, did they?
They called it the Northern Lariat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's the back of the head Lariat he does.
Yeah. And then they bury Brother Ray under the Canadian flag.
I have no respect for you, and I have no respect for your country. Two. He spit on Devon for
the fuck.
What, you don't like Team 3D Nation?
Stand up. And then they play the intro to the show.
Yeah,
the show had not begun yet.
AJ Styles jumping, Chris Daniels looking at you,
Rikishi giving the cheeks. Yeah,
this
we know
good stuff here, man. I love
it. It was your 60 minute adrenaline rush.
They do a shot of Don West and Mike Tenay, and they're both running down the card. Well, I mean, Mike Tenay is running down the card. Tenay will announce, like, oh, tonight we will see an X Division Fatal 4-Way matchup. And then Don West will say, and Sting! We will also see America's Most Wanted against the James Gang. And we will see Sting! Just every time he said something, he would just pop in Sting.
There is no better
AW
announced team, I don't think. Like, the chemistry they have here is so good.
And they took
so
it so serious. I mean, we always talk about other products, but they actually took it super serious here, and they were like into everything that was going on.
And they loved the product too.
You could tell Don West was just a huge fan of everything he was watching. It was
and Mike
so Tenay cool
just,
to see.
I mean, they're both smart dudes, but Mike Tenay is just fucking
the professor, man. He's the professor.
They would let each other have bits, dude. Like, that's like, they would let each other talk. That's like the biggest thing is like just letting each other get the stuff in is like a really big thing. So,
my favorite thing of them two is when they both get really serious and they have that look on their face. Like, if you see
on
Mike
the
Tenay
show,
with that serious look on his face, he's like,
yeah. Mike Tenay's serious face is so fucking stupid looking though. He's just grumpy.
It's not really like upset as much as just like confused or sad.
Yeah, it's more of a confused
His lips pucker. Like,
there's a very distinct Mike Tenay face we're talking about, and you'll know what it is if you ever see it. It's very distinct.
The best one I don't know if it was from when Don West turned heel on him, but I can vividly remember a shot of him staring into the camera with the ring behind him, and I think it was from that. I don't disappointingly looking into the camera. I hope all the best for Mike Tenay right now. Come back, Mike. Go to AEW, please. Replace Jim.
Yeah, Mike Tenay is just all-time guy.
Imagine that. Here. Excalibur, Shivani, and Mike Tenay on commentary. Woo.
So we cut off here with a Planet Jarrett promo. Jeff Jarrett backstage in a schmedium green shirt. Oh my god.
Dude, this shirt nipples all over the fucking
place
here.
Could this get any tighter?
This is not his shirt. It
can't you think
be.
This is Gail Kim's shirt?
It's
you
not
think
his.
Get any tighter.
Also, he's wearing a necklace. It's not a cross.
You got necklace?
It is
Jeff Jarrett necklace.
It's just a nail.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I really have no clue what this was.
I wasn't sure. I thought it was like, is it like a Jesus thing? Because the nail on the hands? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that might be it. AMW and Scott Steiner are backstage with Jeff Jarrett.
What a squad.
Yeah, he brought in Scott Steiner to beat the hell out of Sting.
Bip, bop, bop, bop.
What a great segment.
Also, Gail Kim and Jackie Gaeta also here. Jackie Gaeta, I guess, forced to be in this team?
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the logistics are for this
one.
She is definitely against her will in playing Jarrett.
So is this the they were teasing, like, I guess this was the announcement for Lethal Lockdown, like this is where the team came together here in this promo.
I think it was official, but I think the Steiner debuts.
They were
the
hanging
before.
Out, but they were. This was where they officially the team.
Yeah, and
okay.
Then Sting is supposed to introduce his hoodlums. But
if you didn't know, Sting will be here tonight.
Dude, they advertise him just like AEW does. After every segment, just a graphic, Sting is going to talk tonight.
Oh, man. Maybe that's all you need to do is Sting. Maybe, like, it's written in his contract. So. Like, it you got to mention my name.
It's
written
in his contract. You must, every time I talk, you must advertise.
Give me a talk segment every week.
So Sting wants a lethal lockdown match, which we have never had one at this point. This is the very first one they've ever done.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought it had already been a thing, but I guess it was just Six Sides of Steel was a thing, not
lethal. Yeah, they
lockdown.
Just did a lockdown, but they never did Lethal Lockdown. Yeah.
So Lethal Lockdown 2006 is the very first one they ever do, and they main event that show with that match. We talk about that later on tonight. Sting will bring up the Lethal Lockdown once again later on. Well, actually, not
Steve
Sting.
Steve
Borden will bring it up.
I hate Steve Borden. Steve Borden sucks. Oh, my God. Dude, do you know? I didn't realize this. My buddy Jericho fucking pointed out. On Cameo, you can pay $200 for a cameo from Steve Borden or $500 for a cameo from Sting.
No way. He does.
$300 to paint up, baby.
Oh, man. Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. In this business and in real life?
Yes.
Wow.
Tremendous.
TNA also held their first house show here recently in Detroit, Michigan in front of 4,000 fans.
I like that they called this Global Impact, the first house show in Detroit, Michigan. Global Impact. I mean,
yeah,
well, I guess,
somewhere on the globe.
I guess so, yeah. Big international tour starts off in Detroit.
Crazy enough, we were talking about how time is a flat circle. AEW is about to run their first house show, too.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah.
AEW Global Impact. In Florida.
Global Imagine. Dynamite. Yeah.
So we kick off the show. We have AMW versus the James Gang NWA World Tag Team title match.
Also, time is a flat circle. AMW is back, baby.
Yes, sir. I saw that, dude. That was so dope. Wow.
I don't
really
know.
Cool.
You think they're actually going to, like, wrestle?
I'm not sure. When is the last time that Chris Harris has wrestled? It's been a while.
Fucking hell. I feel like the last time I saw him, he wasn't looking too hot.
I think they're doing a match, though, because wasn't it just like James Storm 1000 TNA match of all
time?
Yeah,
it was.
Oh,
just
wow. Is that right?
So I'm sure they're going to come back with it. Yeah,
supposedly he wrestled in 2018. He had a couple, like a match.
Well, the good thing about wrestling is you can do a tag match, and pretty much anyone can work a tag match. You really don't have to do too much.
All they have to do is hit the death sentence.
Yeah, really. Just greatest hits, and then let James Storm do the rest. I mean, that's pretty much all you need to do if you need to.
God, I love AMW, man. I'm glad. Yeah. If they get one more match, even if it's just one, like, that's okay.
They're one of the coolest tag teams ever. They have to be.
Yeah.
They absolutely have to be.
And they got the titles here, which I associate these titles very much with these guys.
I do too. Absolutely. 100%. Them coming out, oh my God, yeah. With
Chris Harris with
the
cuffs
and everything. And yeah, this is really cool. And a little mustache.
Why did he do that?
He's got the little mustache. James Storm had the little chin strap. You put them together, make one beard.
Yeah, you're right.
AMW forever.
And then the James Gang are also here.
Yeah, they're here. So James Gang comes out. Road Dogg says, "We're about to climb Brokeback Mountain to get these boys. Now bring our belts out, bitches."
Did this movie just come out or something? Because the crowd's chanting Brokeback Mountain. This is very they're going heavy on the Brokeback Mountain here.
I really don't know. At one point in the match, I think they mentioned it again.
Yeah, in the match, Don West says, "Talk about Brokeback Mountain. That's like a scene out of the movie." And I'm like, "Huh?"
I feel like Don West has actually never seen this movie. I feel like he was just told to talk about it. Because he goes, commentary goes, "Talk about Brokeback Mountain." And then they wait a second. Don West goes, "Yeah, that's a scene out of a movie."
Yeah, I guess so, Don.
Don West goes, "I'm the Joker, baby. I love Brokeback Mountain." He totally saw the movie.
By the way, also, when AMW's making their entrance, Chris Harris goes up to the announce table and just throws water on Don West.
apparently Planet Jared's been fucking with Don West. Steiner was doing it.
Brokeback Mountain at AMW. This is just bull.
We find the defendants guilty.
What a great theme song. Yeah, I love this a lot. They come out with Gail Kim and Jackie Gata.
Jackie, of course, again, not wanting to be there.
Yeah, she is definitely not on AMW side or Planet Jared's side.
They don't really make her feel that good either.
Gail Kim hates her fucking guts. But man, Jackie and Gail Kim are just, oh my God, they're gorgeous. Wow.
Yes.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great addition to the Planet Jared.
As are AMW.
Yeah, Chris Harris with a mustache.
With the mustache. Jackie and Gail are arguing, and then Gail makes Jackie go on her knees in the ring, and I guess she was meant to grab the belts, but then Gail grabs James Storm's beer and then pours it over Jackie's head, which upsets James Storm's greatly, and he snatches the beer away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why is the good beer?
That was good.
What a great intro.
There's like beer in the ring, and the referee's trying to slide it out with his foot.
Was it Rudy Charles? I think Rudy Charles was like, what the hell,
Senior referee, of course.
Senior referee, Rudy Charles.
All right, so match starts. Billy Gunn does a splash in the corner. They fall down into a doggy style position, and that's where they go, talk about Brokeback Mountain. Did they get sponsored by this movie or something? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, maybe it was like with that Gretchen Wiener thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, Gretchen Wiener on the apron.
Shout out Gretchen Wiener. There was one point, I think it was James Storm and Billy Gunn, they're running at each other, and I don't know if I've seen a drop toe hold where both guys were running. Billy Gunn hits like a drop toe hold as he's running, and James Storm is running at him. It looked actually really cool.
I feel like that's a Billy Gunn move for some reason.
Maybe
I feel like
is.
I've seen him do that before, probably, but I don't know.
AMW also did the world's greatest tag team spot where he jumps over his shoulder and...
Oh my God, where he was hanging him on the ropes and then he jumps over. Yeah, they did do that.
That's a good spot.
Yeah, they did a lot of cool shit in this match. I mean, James Gang did their greatest hits, I guess.
Classics, yeah. Gail slapped Jackie on the floor for fun. Oh, because Jackie tripped Chris Harris as he was running.
Was it not on camera when she slapped? I swear they didn't show it on camera. And Don West was like,
She slapped her.
And say it over and over.
Yeah, Mike Tenay was like literally yelling about it. So like it like pans away. You can't really see anything. And all of a sudden you hear, yo, she slapped her. She slapped her. Yeah, that's true. I couldn't see it, but I believe you. Billy Gunn then hits the Famouser. James Storm tries to come in with a beer bottle, but Rudy Charles puts the bricks to him.
Uh-oh.
And then Conan comes into the ring and hits Billy Gunn.
With the slapjack!
With the slapjack!
The snack pack! He's got the snack pack.
Mad ball, dude.
The crack sack. Unbelievable.
I swear, I do not remember the slapjack being used so prevalently that I watched.
Apparently,
I'm wrong. Because every fucking match we watch, I swear, there's a slapjack somewhere.
If it's not the weapon, it's a move. And if it's not a move, it's a person.
There's so much slapjack everywhere.
Two people I remember that using a slapjack was... who was it? Conan, for sure. He was a big slapjack guy. And then...
Ortiz Stevie used
Ray.
It too.
Stevie Ray, that's the guy.
Stevie Ray, yeah. Proud and Powerful use it in AEW.
Yeah, they use it too.
That's a mad ball. That's a different, different thing.
It's a snack pack.
But yeah, Conan hits Billy Gunn with the slapjack, letting Chris Harris get the win.
Yeah, so guess what this angle is, man. So Conan comes in to hit him with the slapjack. AMW gets the win, retains the titles. Bullet Bob Armstrong comes in the ring afterwards. Tenay is yelling, it's Bullet Bob Armstrong, and he's going to arm wrestle Conan next week.
That was the build. Match was the build for that arm wrestling match.
Conan hit Billy Gunn a slapjack just so he could arm wrestle Road Dogg dad next week.
I really wish AEW would do the same. Like, I want them to build up Tully and Marco in an arm wrestling match.
This is perfect.
Also, Bob Armstrong's pants all the way up to his nipples for some reason.
He did it every time he came on TNA. Always looked like that.
This is how you book that 60-minute adrenaline rush. You put a feud inside of a feud inside of a feud going on.
That's what I'm talking.
Triple
this
book it, and then that's how you get the adrenaline rush going on.
He was radiating dad energy here, man. Just super
absolutely.
Dad.
Yeah.
100%. So we get James Mitchell's Paparazzi Production segment next.
Yes.
This is just the first part of the two-parter.
Hold on, before this, though, James, you're forgetting something. Still to come, Sting live!
Sting! Oh, no, not Sting! The Sting Town Hall segment later on tonight. We get the James Mitchell Paparazzi Productions segment. It shows a recap of Christian being a TNA, winning the NWA title.
Yes.
James Mitchell says that Christian has leapfrogged Abyss for the title. He needs to stop taking spots from the young guys.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Actually, that's pretty
true. Time is
true,
a flat circle.
That's true, and that's pretty true.
Chris just showed off his new shirt. Outwork everybody.
James Mitchell should show up with Kazarian, too. And just be like,
oh, my God.
Stealing
that'd be
spots,
awesome. He was just in the AEW, too, since the minister.
James Mitchell says he wants a title shot for Abyss or click Doomsday.
What a sweet line.
Yeah, that's
this
so
was
cool.
They dropped it like within the next year. I feel like he didn't use it anymore after that, which is weird.
Someone else should steal it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Abyss good. Should leave WWE, come to AEW, and use Click Doomsday.
Everyone should leave WWE.
Slapjack too.
Especially Slapjack.
Alex Shelley comes up and says, wow, that sounds pretty cool. I like to videotape this for documentary.
Whoa, look at the camera. Look at the camera.
Said, okay, look at the kid cam. Look at the kid cam. Look at the kid cam.
Not the kid cam.
He's getting gigs, dude. This is awesome. So then it shows the Paparazzi Productions presents. You never get a name for this. There's no actual official name.
There was for this
one. No, they show it. They show it.
Desperately Alone Housewife.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just saw that. Okay, that's perfect.
Yes.
James Mitchell stalks Christian's wife. James Mitchell approaches her. I guess it looked like
their house. Is this at work?
Because
the second one is definitely, the one they show on the show is definitely Christian's house. But I feel like they leave like a lobby and go into like a parking lot at the end of the recap.
That's Christian's second house.
Oh, yes, of course. That's fair. Canada. I believe it. You're probably right.
James Mitchell approaches her and says, does it strike you as odd that your husband would leave you vulnerable and alone? I mean, what do you mean? This is my day-to-day. I don't know.
You're supposed to be my hip all the time? I'm at my house.
I don't really fuck with this wrestling shit. I don't really know what's going on here.
She tries to call the cops, and he stops her. Says, be sure to tell your husband. We'll see him soon.
She has this bedazzled pink flip phone that she tries to pull out.
Be sure to use 1-800-COLLECT.
America Online!
6.0! It says, to be continued.
Ooh.
So we're going to get part two. And Mike Tenay has been on commentary going, you guys do not want to watch this because it is fucked. So horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, it's going to get crazy. But now I remembered, I've already seen this. So sorry,
but he's
Mike
so convincing.
So then we get the Abyss and James Mitchell promo in the ring. Mm. They come down to the ring. We get the sweet entrance and everything. And it's just so dope.
With the chain.
Abyss is like, this is, if there was ever a time to go all in on him, it was probably right now.
Oh,
hell
my gosh, yeah.
It was probably right here. This dude was the man. So they come out. They got the dim lights and the red tent and everything here. Just complete money. These guys were awesome. Wow, what a great, like, product to have for your
whoever
television.
Said, hey, let's put James Mitchell with Abyss, I hope they made a lot of money.
I do, too. James Mitchell says, Christian, you said your dream was to win the NWA title. Well, you won that title, and then you went off to film some damn movies.
What movie was he making?
What the fuck was Christian filming?
I have no idea.
Christian ran off to make a movie instead of defending the title, but I don't know what movie he was in.
He was up there on Twitch. Everybody, I need you to hit that follow button, sub if you got Twitch Prime.
Let's see, like, IMDb here, pulling it
that's
up.
That's what I'm trying to find, too. Like, I looked up Jay Russo 2006, and it said he was in Unforgiven 2006. No.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. How about that? You won the title, and then you went off to film a WWE pay-per-view.
TNA Wrestling, the 50 Greatest Moments. That's what he
did. Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, great.
Oh, here
we
go. He did a voiceover in SmackDown vs. Raw 2006.
That's awesome.
In 2006? When did this episode air?
Maybe he was... Was he filming for Shoot 'Em Up, Senator, and he was Senator's Guard in that movie?
Oh, that's what it was. No, it was Dark it Rising was... Video, Ricky.
He was in a Dark Rising video? What the fuck is Dark Rising? That's a movie.
That's the film that he went to movie.
One of those two he went and filmed. So obviously it was well worth not defending the NWA
Very
championship
big deal
for
to Christian Cage. Yeah. So James Mitchell says, it's been 7 days and we haven't heard from you. Bitch. 7 days! Seven days!
You don't make the matches!
7 days! So now, since you haven't responded in 7 days, we will now show you part two.
Whoops. We will further your public humiliation.
So it shows the video, Alex Shelley walking up to Christian Cage's house.
Very big house.
He lives in a housing development in Florida, the same one that every single wrestler that ever has lived in Florida lives in. Christian comes out of the garage. He's walking to the trash of the street. He sees Alex Shelley.
And he looks inside. He sees Shelley. He says, what the fuck?
He was cursing the hell. He's like, what the fuck, bitch?
What are you doing, bitch? He's like, don't you ever fucking come to my house, you fucker.
I'll put you in the fucking ground.
That's what he said. I'll put you in the ground. That was baller.
Yeah, this is actually really dope. And then, like, Shelly falls, and then Abyss attacks Christian from behind. And
in full gear,
James Mitchell is gimmicked out in the middle of Florida in this housing development.
Dude, and Abyss is like, like the neighbors are watching it.
I was gonna say, there's not one neighbor that called the cops on this screaming lunatic.
Absolutely not. They are very used to this. Christian
does
this a lot.
James Mitchell laughing and this big guy in a mask with curly hair screaming, yeah, with change just beating up Christian.
They open the door. James will go, honey, I'm home.
Pretty nice.
As you would. Classic line.
Yeah, it's great.
So he goes to the house and they start brawling into the house. Christian grabs a water jug and tries to attack a
water container.
Water thing. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, just bonk right over his head. They fight through the living room. This is like the, I feel like Christian like just moved here or something. There's like,
I was gonna say, an
entertainment system
empty.
And a couch.
Dude, he's got a fucking pool in his living room. What is this place?
I hope he's
like,
this is
outside.
I was gonna, you can see the pool from the living room.
They don't even
right.
go outside. They just go from the kitchen to the living room to the pool. I'm like, what the hell is this house?
So Abyss pushes Christian into the enclosed pool area.
James Mitchell says, you know what to do.
And he goes,
Abyss
I do.
Looks at him and says, yeah, he jumps him in.
Oh, we're going to the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Christian does a canyon flip bump into the
he
pool.
He does. He does the triple cage bump into the pool.
I'm pretty sure I saw this exact segment on Thunder with Hack and Raven
and
Canyon.
Raven. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought, okay, I thought you were talking
it's
about the triple
the same
cage
house
bump,
too.
Which is similar.
Yeah,
it might
yeah,
be
probably,
house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? Hack is still out there. Yeah.
What a mark. So Abyss steps into the pool real nicely.
He takes the stairs.
You're very nice about this. He's
instead like, of like, step he's in. Like dipping his toes in to see if the water's nice.
He was hog dipping that pool.
Like, I mean, it felt very Jason-like, you know, like walking through the pool, like trying to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
Don't take the stairs.
You'd be very polite about this. That gear costs a lot of money.
But it
you
did
don't
look,
it up.
Does look evil. Like, it, maybe if they did this at nighttime, it would look cooler, too.
What did you want to do? Cannonball in and do a jackknife?
Just
cannon
jump
bump.
And die.
Cannon
do a
flip bump in the pool.
Yes, shooting star.
Do a belly flop. Oh, shooting
star? So Abyss that gets in the pool and then tries to drown Christian immediately.
Dunks him multiple times.
James Mitchell goes, you can't kill him. We can't win the title if he's dead.
You can't win the belt from a dead man. And what a great way to like get out of him actually killing him, because he probably should.
That is a great line. That is perfect. And then Mitchell spits on him.
What was that?
Everybody is spitting on everybody. I don't know, man.
Christian is obviously out, and he says, what are you prepared to do? And he goes, it spits right in his face.
And then we get the greatest, I don't even know how to put this. Let's talk about it. Mike Tenay is sitting at the desk with Don West as they watch this horrible display in front of him. They had
disgusting.
To sit there and watch this. Mike Tenay has seen this before, and he knew how horrible it was.
The light is still red, by the way.
Oh, it's going to stay red, too. It's going to stay red through this whole part. Mike Tenay goes, what do you want, Mitchell? You're sick.
You're sick.
James Mitchell walks to the desk and he goes, and the Oscar goes to Best Director Alex Shelley. I'm like, oh, baby. They're like all time and stuff here.
Dude, as he says this, Don West stands up out of it. He just like straight stands
he blows
up.
To he's him. He blows up to Abyss.
The moment he says Best Director, he stands up. He cannot
Son
believe what
bitch.
He just heard.
He was not nominated.
As he stands up, and the look on both of their faces is
because it's the Mike Tenay face. It's the
it
Mike
is.
Tenay
it
face.
It is the Mike Tenay face. If he duck faced it a little harder, it'd be the perfect one.
Dude, that's like when you do something bad and your dad gives you that look and you're like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble.
They couldn't believe they showed this on TV.
Disgusting.
So then Don West standing up and he goes, how many felonies can you commit right there? My God, that was borderline attempted murder. Despicable.
And then he walks out.
And he walks out and goes, I wash my hands of this.
Today says, that video was sick and you're even sicker.
These guys are the fucking
How many
best.
Felonies can you commit right there?
How many you attempt right there? By God, that was attempted murder.
Despicable. I'm why washing my hands.
Why are you saying it like vengeance?
Despicable.
How many felonies? All of them?
Oh.
That was borderline all attempted of, murder.
All of it. God, what a great fucking segment, though.
Don Winston sure fucking leaves.
He's out.
He's fucking done.
He's gone.
My hands, you did. Hey, forget about it.
He does come back.
Hey, you can hear that line in the Abyss video, too, that we have on our Deadlock Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah,
sure that line is in
all time.
The Abyss video is tremendous.
Dude, that line is so good.
Knew.
That's an all-time line.
She's knew what's true. Good stuff, man. This is an incredible segment. This will go down the annals of wrestling history.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's there's been a few like home invasion wrestling. It was like I feel like most people remember the Triple H Orton one for how ridiculous it was.
Except that was like a fake house. It didn't even seem real. I don't even know about that.
It's a shame the Austin Pillman one doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, rest in peace. yeah. Undertaker burned a cross on Vince's lawn. That was pretty crazy.
So then we get a Sabu video package. Sabu is returning at TNA Lockdown 2006 on April 23rd.
It was a long hype video, too.
Yeah, I mean, they were really going all in on him.
That theme song is awesome.
Yeah, dude, this proves that Sabu didn't need to talk. He was awesome.
Yeah, who does he face at that lockdown? Oh, and actually, I think it's Joe. I thought the main event match was to decide who's facing Daniels at the pay-per-view. Is that not the case?
Oh, Joe must take it from Daniels before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Joe beats Daniels before the pay-per-view.
Maybe do that on the debut Thursday episode just to pop the ratings,
Oh, you might be right. Yeah, okay. Joe, why do I have no recollection of that at all?
I don't know.
And Sabu in a cage for the X Division title?
It was only 6 minutes long, so...
Maybe that's why I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
Joe just kills him? Yeah.
And then Daniels had to fight Senshi at the pay-per-view.
Warrior. Don't do my moves.
Yeah, so we go to the main event. Samoa Joe versus Alex Shelley versus Sanjay Dutt versus Chris Sabin, number one contender X Division title match.
Daniels is on commentary as well. He's got the X Division title propped up in front of him.
I love that belt so much.
Oh, I do too, man.
And Daniels looks like $1 million at this point.
Dude, he looks awesome. So good. Everybody looks great at this time. Dude. Yeah. Joe's a complete badass. Like, Shelley has the camera and everything.
I really don't understand how they didn't figure Daniels into at least one title run. Like a world title run. I just don't see how they couldn't have done it.
I can't believe they didn't want to go, especially with how they did like Abyss and a lot of the angles on the show. Like, they could have went really deep into the Fallen Angel thing. The TNA video game
again.
Went farther on the Fallen Angel thing than they ever did with Daniels.
Yeah. And then they try it again, and he paints his face, and he feuds with Sting. But then, like, after that, he loses to Val Venus, doesn't he?
Then he
like,
just changes God he changed his name
it.
To Daniels, right, when he was just
Daniels.
Yeah,
he's just
like, I hated that.
Ugh. Genesis 2010. I hate you so.
Scarred in my memories.
Hulk Hogan, a six-sided ring? You don't need that anymore. Yeah. Come
your on. Little baby ring.
Shut up, bitch.
Yeah, fuck you.
So Samoa Joe comes down here, he walks over to the table, and he looks like he is going to kick Daniel's ass.
And he's got the towel.
I love that Shelly comes out, actually sets up the viewfinder on the camera, and then it zooms in on the viewfinder on
That's
the camera.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
I'm glad they went a little extra step for that.
Sanjay Dutt is over as fuck here,
Swaggy.
That's my guy.
Always funny actually seeing Sabin and Shelly like, in a match, but not in Motor City. It's weird. Shelly then... as we get into the match, just straight up grab Sanjay Dutt's cock.
Sanjay goes for a dive, and Shelly reverses by grabbing his dick and balls.
Just straight up cock good, grab. Good zooms move, in on it.
And then Shelly goes to tag out to Joe, and Joe will not tag out onto the cock and balls hand. So
yeah, I'm not touching it.
Yeah, it is mentioning this is a tag match, by the way, so it is.
It's fiddle four-way, but it's
fiddle four-way, two
rules.
People legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's
what
it is. But a hot finish here, man. They did all their little spots. They didn't really do anything too crazy. They kind of kept it pretty clean.
Well, Sanjay did the like buckshot flip into a Rana onto Joe before a commercial break, which was fucking cool looking.
And then that came back to bite him in the ass.
Yes.
So at the finish of this match, he goes for it one more time, and then Joe catches Sanjay out of midair, puts him on the top rope. Almost pushes him straight off the top rope.
That's how amped up he was to get this spot set up, because he catches him on the Rana, powers him on the top rope, and like, let's go, motherfucker.
Yeah, he was so into it.
He fucking drops him with the muscle buster, though.
It looks so perfect.
It actually, him falling off the top and then Joe just grabbing him.
It made him look
better. No.
Yeah, dude, so good.
It made him look stronger.
Absolutely badass. Then Joe wins and immediately rushes over to Daniels, throws the towel at him, they start brawling.
Dude, this fucking rule. This is so good.
Daniels jumps over the table. Don West is losing his shit. Like, he jumped over the table.
I love brawling. This shit.
Dude, and not only that, the crowd was loving it. The crowd was so hot for this angle. They were just into it.
Yeah, it was dope. Really good shit here, man. The X Division was really on fire around this point.
Look, I mean, how can you go wrong with even just these four? How do you go wrong with them?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a hell of a division just based on these guys and Christopher Daniels. And then you have AJ up there, Jay Lethal, bunch of guys around here.
Shark Boy.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shark Boy. What's up? So we have JB Jeremy Borash. He's catching up with Jeff Jarrett backstage. Jeff Jarrett says, shut up.
Yeah. He's trying to ask him a question. Shut up, Borash.
And then Scott Steiner grabs him. Shut up! Then we get the Sting video package of him getting his ass beat by Scott Steiner.
Is this his actual debut? That's what it sounded like.
Well, I mean, he already debuted and beat up Sting. But
that's what I mean, like that segment.
Yeah, I think they brought him in. Okay, yeah. I think they brought him in.
There's one shot where like they're holding Sting. Also, Sting is no face paint in this recap or in the interview. Steve Borden.
They had to pay $200
sitting down on the mat.
$200 for this video package.
For
Steve. They don't want to pay the $5.
They just don't want to pay. Yeah, they didn't want to pay too much. And Jared is sitting down, his legs spread, and he just lazily swings the guitar and brings it over Sting's head.
I love that. Yeah, that looks so funny.
Did you say it was a Steiner recliner into the?
Yeah,
Elkabong?
He was in the recliner.
Yeah, okay.
He had to get down there with him.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
So Steve, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Steve. Steve.
Mr. Borden wants revenge.
And he also wants $200.
I hate you. Disgust me. Give me $200. So Steve wants war games. And he said, you know what that is, son? I said, no, I don't. Dad. And he goes, okay, well, we won't do that then. We'll do Lethal
Wondering.
Lockdown.
Yeah, Wondering.
And it shows a 3D sketch of Lethal Lockdown, like this concept model.
That was cool.
That was really cool. I've never seen that before. I thought that was a really cool
piece. I remember that with the chamber, but I don't remember it looking that like 3D. It was kind of like more like just zoomed in on the Elimination Chamber when they did the first one.
Yeah, I'm going to take that image and get an NFT on it. That's mine.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Not the NFTs, bro. Not the NFTs.
I'm next level 6,000 IQ Fortnite brain.
No.
Yeah, I'm 6 steps ahead. Yes, sir. So we have a Planet Jarrett promo at the end of the show. Jarrett doesn't want to wait till lockdown. He wants... You know,
I'm tired of waiting.
I don't... What does he want to do? The Lethal Lockdown now?
I guess he's ready to fight.
Jarrett, what do you want?
Sting said Jarrett can get his delinquents and he can get his army. I wish he would have said I could get my hoodlums.
Hoodlums versus the army and the Navy. So the lights go out and up in the stands is Rhino and the James gang.
Why?
Rhino says, in my games, they've just begun.
Woo.
Jarrett, very fucking confused. He says, well, anyways,
<Fuck you>.
Rhino, there's only three of you and the numbers don't add up for y'all. So then the lights go out again. And then R-Truth, Shark
Boy, my favorite
Boy,
stable ever.
Norman Smiley and the Chase Stevens.
Chase
who was up there.
Stevens,
yeah,
Truth, Stevens Shark Boy, Norman, and Chase Stevens, which is my if there was ever a Survivor Series team, that's my four.
What an insane group of people, man!
What the fuck are they hanging? What the fuck are they doing?
R-Truth starts the "What's Up" song. Shark Boy in the back, "What's Up?
What's Up?
Chase
what's
Stevens,
up,
What's
son?
Up?"
And R-Truth sings this entire song. He just
Jared's
goes.
Trying to interrupt him, and Truth will not stop. People over there, if you feel
you
me,
deal with this, and you can deal with that, but
hey,
could
you stop?
That,
hey,
and you know what?
Hey,
and we can do the rap. And then Jeff Jarrett has the best line here. Oh, I don't know if you wrote this down, Johnny.
No, what he said? Oh, he says, I don't know what's up, but I do know what's down, and that's Steiner kicking your teeth down your throat.
That was a really good line.
The lights go out again, and it's AJ Styles, Chris Sabin, Sanjay Dutt, and Jay Lethal in the crowd.
Chris Sabin and Sanjay having just wrestled. Sanjay in a hat. Honestly, that looked a lot more like Swag D to me.
Swag D and Jay Lethal, yeah.
And AJ Styles
and RPM.
AJ Styles says, hey, yo, you want a war? You're going to get one.
He really did just say that. He really did just say that. The lights go out and the lights come back on and Steve!
Oh, it's actually Sting.
Oh, it's Steve.
It's actually Sting.
They
yeah.
paid the $500 this time. Sting appears
Sting.
Right behind him with the baseball bat. Everyone in this ring sold for Sting except for Scott Steiner. Dude didn't
Fuck
sell
it.
One hit one time the entire Fuck time. It. He got tired for this shit. He said, I thought Steve was gonna be here.
I was prepared for Sting.
And everyone rushes the ring. It's complete bedlam.
Oh my god.
Who is Sting gonna pick for his Lethal Lockdown army?
Sting is also whooping everybody's ass, and Alex Shelley and Team Canada come in to make the save for Planet Jarrett. And Eric Young is standing there, like looking scared. Sting ignores him, and then Eric Young eventually just runs out of the ring.
He gets scared and runs away, yeah.
Yeah.
So then they also advertise that next week, Sting is going to speak live in the Impact Zone.
Sting Town Hall
next
segment
week's
part two.
Sting speaks in the Impact Zone, LMAO.
Tell it all.
Number two.
It's not really fair, you know. Planet Jarrett there's too many hoodlums to face the Navy and the Army.
Yeah, you're right. You know what I was thinking also about the Sting thing? Sting's going to speak live in the Impact Zone. Yo, is Lance Archer in this company at this point?
I think so, yeah.
He's been dealing with this shit.
He was Hoyt.
Hoyt Mania, Lance. Baby. He's been dealing with this shit for 20 years.
Yeah, Hoyt, you're right. That's I didn't even think of that. Time is a flat circle, James.
It's so much a flat circle. It's crazy.
What if, wow. But again, without commercials, 45-minute show. Just
perfect.
Everything
60-minute
hits.
Adrenaline rush.
Nothing dragged here. Like, everything felt like it was building to something. What a good fucking show.
Perfect. I mean, it is such a tight presentation. It's awesome. Really good stuff here, man. And now it's time for the almighty Deadlock Untitled theme song segment.
Almighty.
This is one of a kind theme song segment.
Welcome, yes, to the almighty theme segment. That's what the new name is.
Untitled. Almighty Untitled.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize. Yes. So this week, we'll be talking about the theme song of one Mr. Pay-Per-View, Rob Van Dam, or Mr. Monday Night, or Wednesday Night. Or,
Thursday, Friday,
Thursday night,
Saturday,
the whole damn show.
Yeah, Mr. Pay-Per-View, Rob Van Dam.
Yes, RVD. And we're going to talk about his theme spanning over three different companies because he's had not he got them pretty much right on the first few, so he didn't have to change it too often.
And his last.
Except in TNA. And
Robbie V from WCW, Scoop It Up 1.
So Scoop It Up 1 was his WCW theme. Tony tried to get me to listen to it. I can only hear it out of my left ear.
It's like a production track song that, you know, does better.
We are skipping that one. But in ECW, RVD's first theme was Pound Cake by Van Halen. I have no association with this with RVD, so I'm ignoring it.
No, I don't think of RVD at all.
Speaking of things I'm ignoring, his second song didn't have a name.
Yeah, it just doesn't exist. I don't know.
He used it at Hostile City Showdown 1996. Whatever it was, I don't know what it was. Sorry. But then, knocked it out of the park, his third theme song, and he said it'd be Walk by Pantera. Goddamn, what a song.
You really can't go wrong with Pantera in the first place.
No, of course not.
This song's crazy.
Fourth, he used Whale by John Spencer Blues Explosion. Again, I think he only used it once. He used it for Barely Legal 97.
That's such a weird only change thing, for him. Right?
Yeah, I don't know why he this is too hard. Like, why did you change? Or maybe he was trying to illegally download it and put it onto a CD for somebody, and he typoed, and he typed Whale instead of Walk.
Yeah, it was Paul Heyman Paul Heyman hit the wrong button on the CD.
Yeah.
On his way out of Gorilla, hey man, play the Whale. Huh? Whale. Okay.
And then he just used the ECW theme at Hardcore Heaven 97. I'm not sure why.
Hey man, play the woo-woo.
What?
Play the woo-woo. All right, dude. Just go out there. Your face is Jerry Lynn.
Whoa. Who's that?
That's just how everything went for him at ECW.
Just yelled a different song each time. Eventually, they started ignoring him. Just played Walk.
Spider-Man.
And then his last ECW theme, he used Walk again, but this time it was by Kilgore. And we were talking about it before the pod, and Tony looked it up, and there is actually an ECW music video to this cover by Kilgore, which is fucking awesome.
It's really dope.
They were like on the cutting edge here. They were getting the wrestlers in the ring, and the band was in the ring. It was really cool.
I think that this video might be, and I could be wrong here, so don't quote me on this, but this might be in California. Because I think PWG ran this place. I remember this place, yeah. And I think also XPW may have run here, and maybe Rev Pro. Either that or this is New York. It's one of those. I feel like this is a California building, though. But yeah, the video is ridiculous. It's just random ECW people. And then cutting the shots of the band angrily playing it in the middle of the ring.
Just incredible whooping ass the scene for
Kane. Just incredible attacking a chair with a cane. At one point later on, Lance Storm is mouthing the lyrics to the song.
Nice.
4:15 in the video. And then this he stares was on angrily that, at Bomery.
This is on the ECW CD, right? The one with Sandman.
Yeah, I think they had a couple of those,
Sandman,
right?
Wrapped in barbed wire. That was
Sandman's doing it sexy.
Yeah. There's a lot of ECW guys in this video, more than you would think. Like, Sabu is randomly in this, too.
There's
this
a couple of dope, like, that I remember, like, wrestler crossovers with bands. Do you remember TNA when Kurt did the Amir album?
Yes.
That
wow.
Was pretty cool. Wow.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. There was one recently too, I feel like.
Yeah,
not
Bad Bunny.
Dude, oh my god. Okay, just for go to 222 in the video and you'll see.
In the Kilgore video?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is just, I mean, of course, the main man. Just let me know when you get there and tell me who's in that.
Mr. Lin.
Ooh, you know he loves this shit. He's also like, he's cranking
dude,
he's that.
Rocking
I don't know what he's
the
doing.
Fuck yeah. Out. He's cranking it, dude.
So yeah, definitely got your way. Search Kilgore Walk on YouTube and just watch that video. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it is really cool.
So then we move on to WWE, where his first theme was, again, the ECW theme. I don't think he had say in that. I think they just gave that to him.
Yeah, this was back in 97 we're talking about, when he came in during Raw.
Yes, but I imagine he also, he might have used it again during the invasion.
Yeah, during the invasion.
Yeah,
I'm sure he did.
But yeah, this was the first, when he was with Lawler.
By Harry Slash and the Slash Tones.
I love, I feel like I talked about this on the show before, but Harry Slash, I always remember the name because when Mike Awesome went to WCW, supposedly the story is he like took the master of that, the theme he recorded for Mike Awesome and ran it over with his car. Because he jumped ship and he betrayed
Harry Slash was the one that ran over the master.
I think so, yeah.
What a legend that
wow,
dude is.
Dude.
Holy
fuck you, traitor.
You live and die, ECW, bitch.
His second theme was, second and third theme are the same song. One just has an intro cut. Damn Nation by Jim Johnson, which is the instrumental of one of a kind.
I remember this a lot.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I actually really like that one too.
I do too.
And then his fourth and fifth theme in WWE was one of a kind. One has the intro cut, which is weird.
So yeah, that is weird because it just starts off as one of a kind.
Yeah,
it
feels
have that
strange. Yeah.
Thing at the beginning.
Which, of course, that's the fifth one. And then. No.
Oh, then that one was on Forcible Entry. What a great album name, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes. Stacey Keebler's theme is also on that, James, I believe.
Woo!
That's awesome. And also the Drowning Pool Triple H
do
song.
It goes, now.
The game!
Rob M's sixth theme in WWE. Do it now!
No, it's not.
Do
he didn't
it,
use that
it,
in WCW.
I mean, that's what it is on the network, yeah. If you ever watch back on the network,
do it now.
There's no network anymore.
Yeah, remember? He came in, talked to Steve Austin, Planet Van Damme. It was a whole situation.
No.
Planet Van Damme made me sick.
They cut that out of the Peacock version, sorry.
Aw, damn it.
Sorry.
You can't get anything anymore,
also,
man.
Also, Jericho comes out to WCW themes only. You Know I Got You is erased from history.
You Know I Got You.
That's gone, sorry.
Do it now.
And then he goes to Impact Wrestling, TNA Wrestling, and he uses two songs, supposedly. He uses The Whole Effin' Show by Cushionator.
Woo! That's the song.
And then in 2020, he used like an unknown song. I don't know what he used.
He probably remixed the Cushionator song and
maybe
he just sung it.
So, Tony, if you don't
Man
mind.
Assassinator.
Sorry, I was looking up the band Cushionator and all I got was weed.
Dude, that band kicks ass.
Just briefly, give us some of the lyrics to The Whole Effin' Show by Cushionator.
Van Daminator, Van Terminator, Van Cushionator, Van Assassinator. Rob Van Dam, Whole Effin' Show.
Now, Van,
Rob
let's
Van
just sidebar. Van Cushionator, never one of RVD's moves.
Van Daminator.
And I don't know Van. I don't think Van Assassinator.
Van Terminator.
Either. So, just.
You know
just
that one
that
spinny
there.
Flippy kick thing that Rob did? That was the Van Cushionator.
No, I don't think that was the Van Cushionator. That
the
was the 420 leg drop.
No, it's because he has 4 feet and 20 pounds.
No, that's RVD and
Van Assassinator.
I don't think they could have gotten Van Cushionator by Vince if they could barely get the 420
leg
drop.
Yeah,
because
he falls
him
on his butt. Like the cushion, you know, like he takes a seat on the cushion.
No, not Cushionator.
Yeah, because he sits on a cushion. Van
Go on, continue.
Van Crushionator.
Yes.
Rob Van Dam, The Whole Fucking Show. Rob yes. Van Dam, The Whole Fucking Show. A of chair course. Shot straight to your brain. Straight to your skull crack. You can't stop the chair to your brain. Straight to your
what?
Skull crack. Rob Van
nice.
Dam, The Whole Fucking Show. Rob
your
Van Dam,
crack.
Whole Fucking Show. I Will Fly High. 5-star frog splash. You can't stop me. 5-star frog splash. Rob Van
five
Dam,
star
The Whole
frog
Fucking
splash.
Show. Rob Van Dam, The Whole Fucking Show. It's all about the yin and the yang.
Oh, I don't know this part.
The balance to power the sin. You can't stop the yin and the yang. The balance to power the sin.
Wait, what is this? Is this a part of the song?
Listen to this. Rob Van Dam, the whole fucking show. Rob Van Dam, the whole fucking show. I will levitate. Flip kick you in the air. I will decimate. You can't prepare for Rob Van Dam.
Flip
the whole
kick
fucking
you in
show.
The air.
Rob Van Dam, the whole fucking show. 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 And that is the lyrics.
Wow.
He will flip. He will levitate.
I will
flip
levitate.
Kick you in the air. He will decimate.
Assassinator. That's the Van Crushinator.
The flip kick into levitation is the Van Crushinator. It's Crushinator, not Cushionator. I thought it was
Van Crushinator.
Okay. That's still the flip not kick. A move.
Van Assassinator.
That's when he levitates and flip kicks you in the air. That's the Van Crushinator.
All right. So,
Andy,
that being said,
the Van Crushinator.
Our Van Crushinator.
Van Assassinator, kid. You see that?
What are your top three here?
Pound Cake by Van Halen, number one. Then
what? What is this?
And the one that we couldn't figure out, unknown title.
both unknown titles from WCW, from TNA as well.
Scoop It Up from Robbie V from WCW.
I think. No. See, this is tough because I think Walk by Pantera, like that era of RVD, is different to me than WWE RVD, which is tough because One of a Kind is perfect for WWE. RVD, but Walk by Pantera, just that entrance and him, the whole song, just him high-fiving fans and going, whoa, pointing
dude,
inside.
He took extra long so that song could play on forever.
That Kilgore cover is pretty good. That's probably one of the best covers of that song.
It is good.
The Kilgore cover also literally just sounds like Lamb of God. I don't know if you guys ever heard that band before.
It does sound like,
it's just Lamb of God.
The lead singer also looks like the lead singer of Lamb of God. Damn, this is tough. I think Damnation is my number three.
Yeah.
I really like that one. Damnation is cool. It was like, it's one of the, I liked when WDB did that a lot where they would do like, they'd have like an instrumental for a guy and then they'd get like a real band to actually make a song out of it. But like same with Batista. Like I think Batista's instrumental for I Walk Alone is awesome.
Nah, nah. Yeah, that song is cool too.
But like, Damnation I think is my number three. I think I'm going Walk number one. I'm going Walk number one
really?
And then One of a Kind.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Walk, One of a Kind, Damnation. I think that's me. I think that's what I'm going for.
What about you, James?
Tony? Or James?
Oh, me? Me?
Tony, you go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you go ahead, Tony. He's digesting. All right,
Damnation number three, of course. Damnation's got
to
fit in there.
He's trying to think
then.
Of a way how to make me as upset as possible with his choices. I can feel it already.
Yeah, Tony, don't make him upset.
No,
with your
not Tony.
Damnation is number three.
Okay.
Then number two is Pantera. Number one, One of a Kind.
That's fair. I mean, that's
One of a
that's
Kind.
Fair. And that song not to say, rules I really love the ECW theme, but I don't think of it as a top three RVD theme. So that's just putting it out there.
Which one? Mm-hmm. Which ECW? Oh, the
This
ECW
is Extreme
theme.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even really take that as RVD's theme. To be
no,
honest
I don't either.
You.
It just
no.
Yeah.
That song's crazy though. That's a good song.
I love that song.
Paul Heyman talking.
Flashing lights. Blue
yeah,
red,
that was
red.
The best.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to think about it for a second. I really do like Damnation like a lot.
It's real good.
That is good because for some reason I remember that a lot too, and I feel like I shouldn't because most of the time.
Well, that's.
I remember One of a Kind, but this was like, this meant something to me too. So.
Well, he was also really fucking, I mean, not that he wasn't over when he had One of a Kind, but I feel like he was like, that was early, like super over.
Yeah,
RVD
he was really over. Invasion was
title.
Going on.
Yeah, that's when I was into
he
him
was
a
just,
lot. I don't know. One of a Kind is a way better than like most songs as like a full song, as like the One
sure.
of a Kind full
song. The full
song
is really good.
Yeah, if you guys have never heard the actual full
What's
song,
that?
You
is
should
that on
check it
Reckless
out.
Reckless Intent that might be on? There was a cover of it on Reckless Intent. Who the fuck is that by? Oh, that's going to bother me. I'll
Harry
look it up.
Slash and the Slash Tones.
No, I don't think it was.
Let me see. Here. Just any other promotion, Rob. I swear to God.
I'm pretty sure, unless I'm wrong.
Shadows Fall?
Oh, it's, Shadows Fall. Yeah, Fury of the Storm was
oh,
the song.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, they did a cover of that. I don't think he ever
I don't remember
it,
that
well,
song.
Well, I guess not. Yeah.
Okay, so what number one, I might have to go with One of a Kind.
Okay, which is,
was,
I mean... Sure. Yeah.
Especially because, like, I listening to the full song too, I have a lot of love for that. Number two, whoops, I think I might have to go with. I want to put Damnation there, but I might have to put Walk there.
I, I think yeah.
Walk's probably the move there.
Sure, I think I agree.
And I would love to put Damnation at number three.
Don't you do it.
But it's impossible.
Don't you do it to me. You were doing so well. We were getting through this. You got it out of your system. You don't have to do this.
Dude.
You don't have to. No. Dude. You don't have to. We already acknowledged that it's there. We talked about it. He went over all the lyrics.
It's a good song.
You got what you needed.
It's a good song, though. It's a good one.
Run, man, damn.
No, don't. Stop. No.
The whole fucking show.
No.
I think I gotta go with the
Assassinator. You're gonna put that over Damnation?
Rob Van Dam.
No, stop. You're convincing yourself.
The whole fucking show.
No, stop it.
Dude, I could even put Van Damnation at number one if that's how good of a song that is.
Is that your number three?
I think I gotta.
You're such a fucking asshole.
I would definitely put that up on my list. It's got you remember that song forever. You would remember that song forever.
In the list of 15 RVD songs, yes, that is on the list.
Out of Instagram, I could put Damnation in that top three any other day of the week. I love that song to death too. But how can you not put
Rob Van Dam?
You're locking that in as your number three?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Scumbag.
You're like, I didn't put it higher because I was thinking about it.
Just to spite me.
No, because I think it should be pretty high. But I started thinking about it. I mean, One of a Kind and Damnation, I could honestly split them down the middle any day of the week, to be real with you.
I mean, they're
one
has lyrics and one doesn't.
Yeah,
I can really split it down the middle. One of a Kind, just because, man, that little entrance pyro with the bink and then the One of a Kind. That's a cool time for him, man. Damnation, though, like I said, could split him with them, but none of them go Van Christianator.
I feel like the longer I push, the higher it's going to go on your list. So we're going to end this segment right now.
You know,
thank
actually,
you
hold on, hold on.
No,
listen, Johnny, you don't need to be upset. I'm not going to do what James said, but you
I'm
could put Damnation
out,
in One of a Kind the same, and then I'd probably put Van Cushionator up there as number two.
All right. Thank you. Let us know what your favorites are. And
it's
please,
just, you know,
please don't do this to me.
You know what we're talking about, right?
Because
you like
talking.
Defeating, you know what
do you guys
mean?
Think about the Van Crushinator?
No. Please stop. We're moving on to the
Van Assassinator.
Anything else? You know what? Actually, because of, you know what? I'm fucking sick of this shit. I'm leaving. How about that? How about that?
No,
you talk about Van
Crushinator.
No. You talk about Van Crushinator as long as you want. I'm out of here. See you later. I'm gone.
And now it's time for AEW
it's
Dynamite.
Wednesday night, my dudes. Hello, fellow children.
I'm so glad that AEW ran a show on March 31st. You always have to remember March 31st.
Dude, the Reddit post went crazy.
So
on Squared
people.
Circle, that post went nuts.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I looked at the Squared Circle thing and like the top post was like, hello, Deadlock. I thought that was very
cool. That's so cool. Yeah, that's cool, man.
We're going to talk about AEW here. This was the debut match for Christian Cage, that episode, of course, and later on in the evening, it got even crazier. This might be, from start to finish, one of the craziest AEW episodes they've ever done.
Yeah, 100%. I was not expecting, there's Arcade Anarchy, and then the Christian match, like you were talking about, that was about it, and I was like, all right, it might be all right, but I watched this, and probably one of my favorites.
Then they had QT Marshall do some crazy stuff at the top of the ramp. They're going crazy on this, and I don't know, man.
Dude, we'll talk about it. We'll get into it.
Yeah, let's get
this
break down.
This is a lot crazy, man.
So we kick it off. We got Christian Cage versus Kazarian, old TNA original matchup here. That was pretty cool. Did they change back to the original Christian theme song, or am I just losing my mind? That didn't sound like the AEW version.
It sounded like they just licensed the Impact Wrestling theme
song.
That's
what I was thinking too.
But I don't know because I can't. I'm going to have to listen to like his debut again because I don't remember. But it sounded like they just went and said, all right, we're going to use Impact, which I don't know why if they already made their own version.
I feel like the AEW version definitely had more guitar riffs or something during it. But I have to admit, I mean, sometimes the AEW music's, you know, all over the place. Like it's loud and it's not. I can't really tell what's going on. But it sounded like the original. I had to go back and check. But seeing Christian do his entrance did get me really fired up. I wish he would bring back the ring jacket. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. The little thing that showed his belly button.
The C? The C. Yeah,
it was cool with the NWA title, though. That looked really sick, you know? I was like,
yeah,
the title,
that looked
like the Tanahashi with the title, and it shows a little slit out for the title.
Oh, yeah, his jacket goes around the title, yeah.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Do that.
So Kazarian's out here. He's still doing the SCU thing. Honestly, man, how much fucking cooler would Kaz be if he just didn't do the SCU thing?
Yeah, it starts out SCU. I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
It tilts me immediately. I'm like, damn,
but,
it. Can't you guys give this guy like a Metallica ripoff song or something? Like, can we just
they
like
were
move
saying
on?
Though that I don't know if this is like they're still running the gimmick or if they lose a tag match, SCU's done. So I guess that's like the thing. So
can somebody beat them already? Hello. Can Mox and Kingston just beat the shit out of them?
What if it's, we'll talk about it later, but what if it's Scorpio Sky's new group with All Ego?
Ethan Page? Yeah, they'd be SCU in retirement. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Also, Christian, when he came in the ring, he kissed the canvas. I was like, that's not very good. And this climate.
A lot going on down there. Yeah. They got dark elevation. There's a lot going on in this ring here.
Oh, really?
There's so much blood tonight. I think like 3 people gigged tonight. It was kind of crazy.
So they got Christian out here. That he goes for the kill switch in this match. I can't believe they're calling it the kill switch. I cannot believe they're calling this dude's finished the kill switch.
Is that a personal thing? Did he like the name kill switch better than Unpretty? I've never listened to like any interview or anything where he talked about it, but.
So last week or the week, it might not have been last week, it might have been the week before. Where he attacked Kenny, or like tried to attack Kenny, they definitely called it the Unprettier. I'm not losing my mind over that, right? They definitely called it the Unprettier.
Probably.
Okay, so what happened? Why did they switch to the kill switch? This is the worst day ever.
I don't know.
Switch back, quick.
Unprettier for life, you know?
You have to. Switch back. You still have time.
What about
Go
Kid
back.
Crusher? They should just call it the Kid Crusher. Wasn't that the name of that
yeah,
movie?
Where yeah,
he jumps on his ass.
Tamikaze or whatever.
Looked real good when Kidman did it. He should definitely do that version.
So they went the distance in this match, man. They went, damn near 20 minutes. I was surprised that they went out there and did that. But I guess, you know, Christian's thing is he's the hardest worker in the biz, so...
He's outworking every dude. He was gassed though during this. You could tell that like he was definitely training, but he's not in ring training. You know, it's completely different. He was gassed out here for a while.
See, I thought that it was just a selling. I felt like he was like all his spots were still like perfect, but like yeah, I think his selling was like I think they played this pretty good. Honestly,
no, I don't think any of his spots were like messed up. I just think I could see him breathing heavy, you know, like trying to get back into that.
Christian got up. Kaz got him to the top rope. I was like, there's no way that he's going to bust out the flux capacitor. And he did it.
And they called it the flux capacitor, too.
Yeah, how are you going to call that the flux capacitor and then call the Unprettier the kill switch? Come on, man. Y'all get together. Christian then finally makes it around. He's been trying to do the Unprettier pretty much the entire match here. Every single time he goes for it, Kaz is like, I'm not getting hit by this move. Kaz knows what this move is, knows how to get away from it. For what it's worth, the Unprettier probably, for the most part, you have to have him pretty beat up to hit the Unprettier, or it's got to be completely out of nowhere, because you can just kind of push him.
That's literally the easiest reversal ever. Just push him out of the way. Okay.
But Christian played this perfectly. They went 20, so Kaz is real messed up. Threw him off the turnbuckle. Hit the Unprettier, not the kill switch, the Unprettier. And it was beautiful. God, that was so good, dude. He fucking just ran Kaz in the ground. That was like one of the better Unprettiers I've probably ever seen.
That was crazy. There was one part in the match where Christian was trying for his like spin out DDT from the corner or whatever. And he got pushed off and like tumbled to the floor. He like bad landing on the canvas. Looked pretty sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that did look good. It was like, yeah, it was like one of those like gas spots where he's like, do I got it? That's cool, man. I like that.
That was good. And then they called back to it later in the match. Man, Chris is just so smart. They did it again, and then he finally hit the DDT out of the corner. But then it was Unprettier the whole time he was trying to hit, and he finally hit it, and it looked great.
I'm excited to see what they do with him, man, because obviously he can still do whatever the fuck they want him to do. So I think I put him in a prominent position immediately. Maybe you put him with QT Marshall.
Oh, yeah, do that.
The Nightmare Family Chris is going to come out and say, you just got to do the work.
They just got to turn him somehow. You know, Christian's a better heel than he is a face.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, his whole persona is the instant classic, perfect heel material.
But just say that's how I roll once, please. Can you just drop that line?
Yeah, please just do it once. We get a Hoodlum promo. Darby is doing a little video package with Sting. Darby says, the truth is the truth. Says, Matt Hardy, your body is breaking down, you old, old, fat fucking Ric Flair.
This is good. He's like, Big Money Matt is a reflection of yourself. You used to earn respect. Now you're trying to buy the respect. I actually thought that was a pretty good line.
Said, yeah. Darby's talking to Sting, or talking to Matt Hardy. He's like, you old,
out of shape, taking spot wrestler. Sting's just looking over at him like that little meme where he side eyes him. He's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on, dude.
And he says, your money doesn't mean shit to me. Because apparently you can say shit and nothing matters now. So.
Yeah, this was cool. I like this a lot. Sting threw a bunch of money off a bridge. That was funny.
Darby had a Matt Hardy face on. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, with a bunch of fire and like the black and white. And like, this is the good Darby video package.
Yeah, the good Darby Allin promos, yes. Of
I like
course.
This shit. They had that sweet track playing in the back, the Money Changes Everything song playing in the background. This is really cool. I like
it. Yeah, that was cool, man. It was good stuff.
These taped AEW shows, man, they like the live stuff is sometimes like a little over, all over the place, but the tape ones they 100% get like most of the time.
Yeah, they definitely tighten it up in post and make it like a good show. I actually prefer their tape stuff over their live stuff.
I think actually it being live and then going to tape makes the tapes feel even better, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
So we have a Jade promo. Jade says she makes a lot of money. She's made of money. There's a lot of money. Her molecules are green. The doctors are stunned. They don't know what to do. So we get Cody Rhodes versus QT Marshall.
Holy moly, it's the big homie. It's a girl.
He's here again, baby. The funniest soundbite of the night, probably to this point, was Shivani asking, how do you think QT feels? And nobody said anything. JR waits like 30 seconds, and I think Tony forgot what he had even said, that he had even asked anything. So JR just goes, now I feel disrespected. And nobody says anything. Nobody says anything. And Tony Shivani goes, okay.
I didn't catch that. That's
awesome.
He was
at the very beginning of the match. Yeah.
Oh, that's
just this
really
complete
good.
Dead air. Okay. QT Marshall gets no entrance. Good friend
no,
Cody.
Nothing. Fuck you. No.
This is
entrance.
Exactly why he turned on your ass at the end of this match. So you could just let him get the. If you would have let him get the entrance, everything would have been just fine.
Oh man, how are they doing, my boy QT Marshall? They did
QT
say Marshall.
Marshall.
They said that on commentary.
I think it was, dude.
Was it Shivani said Marshall? I was like, all right, let's go.
He said it on the build up of the match. He's like, good, he's gonna be QT Marshall. QT Marshall versus Mike Seidel. And
I thought, I honestly thought, is that James on commentary?
QT Marshall, Brandon Cutler.
That should be his name now. He should go by, now that he's got this new group going on, he should be QT Marshall.
I don't give a fuck. I've been saying, I was riding like to get food earlier today, and I was just sitting there, and I just said out loud, QT Marshall.
That's so good.
Incredibly based. This guy fucking bleeds all the time. He brings his wife to the show with the fucking girl he was trying to get with just a couple weeks ago right beside him. This dude's bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
What a beast.
The Nightmare Family boys are outside of the ring, this unsanctioned exhibition match or whatever they're calling it. And it's supposed to be like a sparring thing, right? Where like that's how like a Nightmare Family
Marshall
sparring
Mathers. Marshall Mathers LP.
Eminem. You don't even care what I'm saying.
Marshall LP.
Marshall Mathers.
What a beast. Yeah, you're right. Exhibition Nightmare Family there around the ring.
It was supposed to be like a sparring, you know, like if there were no fans or I don't know.
Arn Anderson's got a red shirt on, not tucked in, and still has the chain on. They go into this match. QT Marshall goes for the cross body where he jumps at Cody, and then Cody just like ducks out of the way. Yeah. He just goes flying. I love that spot a lot. The match is pretty short. I kind of expected it to go longer, but I guess they were like, yeah, let's get to the good part. And I think that was the right move.
Yeah, that was exactly what they need to do. QT went to like, or not QT, Cody went to like stomp him on the face or something, but then he decided not to at one point. I don't remember why you got your ass beat the spot match.
Dustin goes to pat QT on the back. He like goes to the outside of the ring. So Dustin tries to pat him on the back. He's like, it's going to be all right, QT. And he goes, get the fuck off me. You've seen The Office, right?
Yeah.
You remember where they're at like the bar or whatever, and Dwight is at the bar and he was saying a story or whatever, and Angela comes up.
Angela comes up. Fuck.
That's QT Marshall. It does lay outside. So QT gets back in the ring and he just attacks Arn Anderson.
For no fucking reason at all. Just straight up decks Arn Anderson.
He leaves the ring. He's like, oh my God, what have I done?
But then Aaron Solo comes to the ring with a steel chair.
Not Aaron Solo.
Solo, baby. They had so many people in here. I was like, oh, yeah, these guys are here.
Don't
like,
forget right. Aaron Solo, Anthony Ogogo, and Nick Camarado.
Anthony Ogogo.
He's got the meanest right hook in the biz, Anthony Ogogo.
Anthony Ogogo fucking punched Cody in the damn stomach. I thought he was going to hit him in the head.
Dude, fucking Lee Johnson gets his shit wrecked here. Oh my god.
Dude,
gosh,
Nick like Cucamacha just sends him over the ropes. Awesome Cucamondo.
Nick Camarado. I actually think that dude looks sick. He's got a good look to him.
Dude,
Nick Camarado.
He has the ultimate look, dude. This guy's awesome. He awesome bombed Lee Johnson and Rose. This is the most over guy here. But
dude,
then that other guy. What was that other guy's name?
Dude. Anthony Ogogo? Aaron Solo? Which one?
Okay. Fiddle with his little shirt for like 5 minutes. And then he went up. I was like, oh, he's going to punch Cody in the face. And he just fucking gut punched him. What a little asshole, dude.
Yeah, Nick Camarado gets the steel steps. Oh, and QT works. He just like throws Arn Anderson in the barricade too, right? And,
yeah, get
like,
out of your
arm or something. Yeah, and then Nick Camarado gets the steel steps. And he almost drops him trying to get him on the ramp. He like uses his head to push him up there. It was pretty crazy.
Dude, Dusty got so pissed off that he just started gigging. I don't even remember where he got hit.
I don't think he did. I think he just gigged himself.
He just started gigging. Oh, they're pinned over and I was like, why does Aaron Solo have all this blood on him? I said, oh my God, Dustin Rhodes is bleeding.
He was dripping, dude. He must have taken a lot of baby aspirin there. That dude
was all over the place with that blood. That's the same ring that Christian kissed earlier, so I don't know, man.
Oh, man.
So Lee Johnson, another week of Lee Johnson getting destroyed. I feel like this guy gets destroyed constantly.
Fucked up, dude. It was sick.
Then QT Marshall pile drives Dustin on the steps. Cody Rhodes got punched in the stomach.
Aaron Ogogo rolls up his sleeves for 10 minutes trying to figure out.
QT is about to slam the chair into Cody's head on the steps, but then Red Velvet comes out and makes a save. I honestly thought Red Velvet was going to turn on Cody.
That would have been awesome, yeah.
There you go. QT Marshall has got his own group now. The Nightmare Family has imploded. Nightmare Family, Black and Red, Nightmare Family.
The B-Team?
Yeah, this is the good stuff right here, dude. I was actually pretty surprised at how much I really, really love this segment.
I actually thought it was great, Aaron. So Anthony Ogogo.
Rolling
up his sleeves, getting that body shot, man. They could build that to be like a sweet finish. Just keep, keep protecting
Punching people in the stomach?
Just keep protecting it, dude. I love it.
I thought he was going to like heart punch him or something. I was like, oh, Cody's like real old school. He'll definitely want him to like heart punch him or something. He just punched him in the
that was good though. Nick Camarado, definitely looks like he's gonna be something someday.
Dude, he has the best look ever. Yeah, he's fucking, and he did an awesome bomb over the ropes. Yeah, this guy's fucking over me already.
Yeah.
This is sick. Yeah. So we got a lot going out of this match. Cody Rhodes is gonna command his team versus QT Marshall's team. They made like 7 dudes all at once here in this one segment. Which is pretty dope, and I'm guessing they'll probably get more time to do a lot of stuff on Dark and Dark Elevation.
Yeah, of course. And of course, like QT wouldn't stand a chance against Cody by himself either. Like,
QT Marshall.
He would just be done in a second. So him having a group of guys is pretty cool too.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is going to be pretty cool. They turned something that I wasn't like super excited for into something that was pretty cool. So
yeah, it's pretty good.
Then we get Scorpio Sky, and he's like, I'm pissed. And then they show Ethan Page. I am also pissed. What are you so mad about? I thought he was gonna say like, yeah, I got my one time in the spotlight and TNT blew it for me or something.
Yeah, they should have done that. It was kind of a cool promo though, because they were like finishing each other's sentences. So it was like he would start and then it would cut to Scorpio and then back.
Oh yeah, I thought
Ethan
the presentation
Page
was dope.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I just was wondering what the hell Ethan Page is so mad about. Ethan Page just got hired.
You've been here for
like
5 minutes, dude. Like, what are you mad
about?
One
of the biggest companies in America right now. He said, I'm not happy here. So Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky are facing Matt and Mike Seidel on Dark Elevation, I believe.
Yes, on next Monday, they say. So that's pretty cool, I guess. I don't know.
Red Velvet interview next. Red Velvet is doing an interview with Dasha. She said, of course I helped Cody. And then Jade Cargill came out of nowhere and beat the shit out of her. Threw her against the roadie box, Scott Steiner style.
I almost broke my heel.
Oh, yeah. That was really good. I don't know if she actually ad-libbed that or not, but that was fucking sweet. John Moxley backstage, he's pissed. Everyone on this show tonight, really pissed. They're real all angry, not happy.
Dude, he's so mad. He's like, why the fuck am I wrestling Sizzle Baloney? I do not want to wrestle this
dude.
He's
like, God, it's so fucking hot in here and I'm pissed off. And I'm like, he starts ripping his clothes off. I'm like, yo, I hate when that happens. Your body starts getting real itchy and you're like, God, get some fucking clothes off me. Yeah. It sucks. John says Sizzle Baloney looks good. He's 6'5", looks like a Baywatch dude. He'll make you a lot of money, except for he won't because I'm going to kill him.
That was good, dude. That was real good.
That was fucking awesome. What a great promo, man. That was good. So then we get John Moxley versus Sizzle Baloney. Sizzle looks really good with the black and red trunks, dude. Keep those trunks. JD Drake and Ryan get involved, and then Nemeth gets, oh my God, he got paradigm shifted straight to hell.
Oh, yeah.
He's not getting up for weeks. That was rough, man. Sizzle goes for the pump handle slam. Moxie rotates out of the pump handle into the Queen Slayer.
That was real good.
Yeah, the ref calls for the bell. John Moxie wins. Okay, so Sizzle Baloney looked incredibly good here.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Like, he is definitely a guy I would keep around and, like, build on, because this guy is actually pretty dope. Like, yeah. He's huge. He's pretty ripped. He sold for Mox, which was dope. Like, guys that size, like, mm-hmm. He didn't oversell. Like, he looked good. Just everything came across really well. I thought this match was pretty cool.
And now they have them with Ryan Nemeth and JD Drake, I guess. That's a
good group like going on. Yeah, I like Nemeth's gimmick was really growing on me, too. JD Drake's one of those old school guys too, so I'm sure he'll turn out real good in this too. We get a Team Taz promo. Team Taz says everything is fine.
Taz is sitting there with the fire burning around him with his cup of coffee. Everything's fine.
Hook
could give a shit less. He's just texting on his phone, scrolling Instagram, whatever he's doing over there.
Hook's got his little fanny pack on. This dude's crazy, man.
Brian Cage is bored out of his mind. Like, fuck, why am I here? I hate this place.
I want to go do a kickflip. That video on Twitter was crazy. Oh, I didn't know if Brian Cage could skateboard. Turns out he's actually pretty
crazy,
good.
That's crazy,
So Ricky Starks is, you know, he's not super happy. Honestly, everything might not be super fine in Team Taz, but Ricky Starks says he had fun on AEW Dark. He said it felt like the old Team Taz. And he said, Brian Cage, what do you think? And Brian Cage stood up and he said, who better? Who better? Who better? Who better? Who better? Cage said, well, if you would have tagged me in earlier, we would have won earlier. And then Taz said, nobody can stop the path of rage. Taz looked over. You good, Hook? All right. I'm good.
I just want Hook to be that kid who's just like, he's just a shithead. He just looks at his phone, doesn't pay attention to his dad.
Yeah, dude, he
saying.
Absolutely is. I love this dude. He was so doing good. Like exploders and T-bones on the outside of the ring the other week.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
It's just crazy. We get a Pinnacle promo. MJF said, Pinnacle style. I said, no, hold on one damn second.
No, Pinnacle stylist.
Okay. I thought he said Pinnacle style. I said,
no, we're going to do this Pinnacle style for life, brother.
Yeah. Anyway,
a new personal stylist.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay, so MJF has a stylist.
Pinnacle style for life, baby.
Yeah, they're going to do, I think they're going to redo the room. They think the room looks like
this
shit.
This room is dumb. This room looks like shit.
So MJF, says there's some weird smeller in a bathroom. We're definitely gonna redo this.
It smells like vodka over here. What's going on?
He opens the door. And Jericho and Proud and Powerful and Xavier are standing there in the door. And then MJF closes the door.
He closes the door and he goes, we gotta get out of here.
We gotta go.
That was so good.
The greatest thing I ever seen in my life. The timing here was so good. Oh my God, yeah.
I like how
so
they didn't
good.
Immediately start brawling. He just shuts the door. All right, well,
we gotta go.
That
was awesome.
Go to the other door, and Jake Hagar is waiting there. He's just standing there.
There ain't going nowhere. You're done. Sean Spears gets my finisher through the door, and then Sammy smacks the door on his head. Wardlow gets Uranagi through a table from Jake Hagar. Was it Cash Money got thrown in the ice bath?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah. Dax, okay, something happened to Dax.
I don't know. They must have not got it on this shot or something, or maybe they like cut around it. I don't know, but Dax was fucking
bleeding everywhere.
I saw like
Santana with all the blood on him, and I was like, what the fuck happened here? Apparently, so they're attacked him with like a broken chair leg, and Dax is busted open hard way right on the top of his head, like just huge goosh just right there on the top of his head.
It was so sick.
And they still attack him with a broken chair leg. It's like, good damn. Then MJF gets a swirly and then gets his head driven through a vending machine by Chris Jericho.
And then Jericho drinks the bubbly and pours it on top of him.
So Inner Circle then changes the pinnacle sign on the door back to the Inner Circle. Wow. This was fucked. You know, man, I don't know why in my head I was like, man, the Pinnacle is probably going to do this same town hall promo thing for like 10 weeks. I'm like, damn. But they didn't. They just went straight for him. That was kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, it was good. I thought this segment went over really well. They all like took out each member of the little, like they're setting up the little feuds here, I guess, right? So you have like Sammy and Spears, Hager and Wardlow, all that stuff. So they're setting it up. Pretty good. There was a weird line at the end that Jim Ross, I swear it's like, it sounded like a video game. What was it, like tin can things, you know, when they do it
voiceover.
Yeah. Jim Ross says, the Inner Circle is taking out the trash. MJF deserves every bit of this. And it was just like the weirdest thing. So
the tape shows they definitely got to work on the quality of those voiceovers. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing there, but maybe they wanted Jim Ross to throw in a line to seem like he cared about the angle, you know? Because I think that's what's going on.
And Dax and MJ, whatever. I don't care. Does anyone care?
Does it really matter?
Does it matter here? Does anything matter? So this was awesome. Pinnacle got their ass kicked. Does he think this is going to go to the Blood and Guts match?
I think I would. Yeah, honestly.
I mean, they're definitely going to run it soon, right? They can't, like, they definitely have been wanting to run it. And I think they're getting to the point, like, they're obviously running with more and more fans every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're starting to do house shows and stuff. There's no way they aren't thinking at least Blood and Guts.
They definitely have to do a big blow. If it's not that, maybe another, I don't know if you even do another stadium stampede, but something big, you know, just build to this and then you're going to have a huge blow off match.
There's going to be so much fucking blood in this match. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I know.
So excited. I mean, damn, dude, they kind of introduced a ton of stables here recently.
Yeah.
I mean, QT Marshall's a pretty big group here. They added Laredo Kid to the Lucha Bros team. Pinnacle, of course, Inner Circle. There's a bunch of stuff going on here.
I think they have like, what I heard, saw something online, they have like over 90 some people on the roster, so they definitely have to have all these stables to get these people on television.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing, if they're still doing that new TNT show. You remember they said they were going to do like a
I wonder how that's going to play, unless they just replace it with Cody's show. Can you imagine? He just swoops awesome. In and steals a TV contract. Yeah, I'm just going to do my Cody.
Rose to the top, baby. So we get a Young Bucks promo. The Young Bucks are doing an interview with Alex Marvez. Don Callis comes up and tells Marvez and Nick Jackson to take a fucking hike. Get out of here. And then Don talks to Matt and he goes, you broke Kenny's heart. And then Matt Jackson breathes real hard for like 60 seconds straight. I was like dying or something. Like, can you move away from the mic? Dude, obviously has never seen Chocolate Rain before.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Chocolate Rain.
Don Callis then tells Matt, he's like, look, man, I don't know how to get through to you. You're being real fucking hard-headed about this. So he then slaps the piss out of him, and then Matt grabs him by the shirt, and then Don goes, you are completely pathetic.
Like,
damn, that's pretty cool.
Don, he grabs by the neck, and then he lets go, and then he's like, that's all you got? You're completely pathetic. You don't have anything inside of you, or whatever he says, something like that.
Don Callis is crazy. We watched him, and he went to Johnny Swinger's casino.
Johnny Swinger. That was a good video. Kenny. That was good. That was good. He's like, the odds are even. No, actually, I'm going to win. All right, the odds have changed. And then Kenny's going to win a bunch of fucking money because he's going to win the match.
Yeah, Don Callis showed Johnny Swinger on the phone. He's like, look how good Kenny is. So then Johnny Swinger changed the odds. Why would you show him that?
Going to a bookie. Yeah, this is what's actually going to happen. All right.
You win less money, Don. You don't know how this works.
Shut up, Don.
So then we get the Lucha Bros with Laredo Kid versus Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers. Never,
gonna get them down. This was dope, dude. This was good. So Penta says, Kenny Omega, you had to cheat to win the AEW title. Your luck has run out. We destroyed the Young Bucks last week, and now we are coming for all the titles. When he says all, do you think they're going to go for the women's title, too? You think they're going to add, like, a woman into this?
They should.
Yeah, I mean, they should too. I mean, shit, we got 20 other groups on the show. Let's keep adding more people to this.
Just keep doing it, dude. You got to fill up the slots somehow. Put them all in groups. Make it happen.
I love seeing Doc Gallows sell punches from Laredo Kid. Like, this dude is like 9 foot tall and he's selling these gut punches from Laredo Kid. It's funny as hell.
Yeah, but he's Doc Gallows, so of course he's going to sell them.
I was watching this match and it made me surprised that AEW hasn't like done trios titles yet. I mean, I guess we'll do it eventually. I can't imagine they never
that
do
was
it.
Like rumored, wasn't it? I think they were rumoring those titles like back before the pandemic that they were going to do trios titles just because they had like SCU and so many other trios going on at the time. But I don't know. I don't see why they don't.
The new show, I think when they get the new show, they'll probably do it. I assume so anyways.
Yeah.
So Carl Anderson hits a sick kick on Phoenix in this match that literally turned him inside out. I have never seen someone get fucking decimated by a move on that level ever. Dude, he landed right on his neck. I don't even know how that happened. Phoenix is just out of his
fucking
mind.
Dude, he's crazy. At one point, he does like a drive-by kick. What was that? At the like the towards the end of the match where he just runs by. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, you're talking about on the ropes? Yeah, that was fucked.
He just
fucking comes
out of nowhere. What the
right off the screen. Mean? Dude, that was one of the crazy... Yeah, so Laredo Kid hit an enziguri on Kenny. He sells into the ropes. Phoenix comes off the camera to the walking kick. And then Laredo Kid, I swear to God, I thought he killed Kenny with the Michinoku driver.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Gnarly. Fuck, completely gnarly. That was a 2.9, though. Phoenix spent this whole match selling for Carl Anderson. Carl had a spinebuster on Phoenix who sold it like it was the fucking craziest move ever. Like, I know we say it a lot, but Phoenix might be one of the best wrestlers around right now. This
dude. Yeah, he definitely is, dude. Definitely is.
Kenny hits a V-trigger on Laredo Kid for a 2.9. Laredo Kid does a tope on Kenny and literally hits Kenny and then does another flip. I don't even know how this happened.
I don't know.
This match is so fucked, it's incredible. So Laredo Kid goes up for a Phoenix splash. Kenny moves out of the way into the corner, then sprints out of the corner, hits him with a V-trigger, and hits the one-winged angel and gets the win here. Wow. What in the hell was going on here? This match,
dude, this is fucking crazy. Yeah.
Between this one and the match last week with Laredo Kid and Lucha Bros, this one might be more my favorite here. I feel like they were going way crazier here.
Yeah, for sure. They're great. I like them together, Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid.
Yeah, I like them too. John Moxley comes out after the match at the top of the ramp. Then the Young Bucks come in with John Moxley at the top of the ramp. Then they go in and attack Kenny and the Good Brothers, but they run away. So,
boo.
So the Young Bucks are definitely turning on John Moxley, right?
You think?
Hell yeah, they are. There's no way they stay with this fucking guy. Hell yeah. I think they turned on him, man.
I actually don't really know the end of this whole Moxley, Good Brothers, Omega, Young Bucks thing. I don't really know where it's going. I don't see it. I don't know. I guess I just really don't care, honestly, where it goes. I'm just entertained. Hopefully,
yeah,
Moxley.
They could go anywhere with it, really. Moxley's sort of like a neutral, like he's kind of like just doing whatever. So after that, we get Britt Baker. Britt says Thunder Rosa can use AEW Dark Elevation to get her wins up because guess what? The biggest win of your career was a lights out match and it didn't even count.
That was so good. That was a great line.
DMD Dennis style. I was like, yeah, it's time, baby. That was awesome.
Yeah, you may have
won,
but that match didn't even matter. It doesn't even count. So who cares?
That was sick. She's good.
Yeah, so good.
So we have Nyla Rose and Bunny versus Ty Conti and Hikaru Shida. Matt Hardy comes out and says, Bunny's going to start getting a push now, okay? Listen, okay. Ty Conti and Hikaru Shida come out with geese. I thought that was pretty cool. HFO and the Dark Order are both out here, respectively, for each team. Ty Conti was hitting some mean-ass strikes in this one, man. She does not hold back on these at all. She's going to let you have it. I love how all her moves also include her name. So she also hit the Ty KO on Bunny.
Yeah, and I bet Jim Ross.
Yeah, I heard an audible sigh. It wasn't even on the microphone. It was just it picked up from the ring mic.
Why the fuck that? Is it called the Stone Cold Stunner? Come on.
The rock bottom, kids. You hear that? the Ty KO on Bunny, which is a backpack knee strike. She got a 2 on that one. I actually literally wrote down, did you hear that, kids? The Dark Order and HFO start fighting, so Hikaru Shida gets on the top rope and then jumps onto all of them. And then Ty says, fuck it, and she jumps onto all of them. And then Bunny grabs a Singapore cane, hits Ty with it, and then she hits the down the bunny hole for the 3. So Bunny gets the win here over Ty. Hikaru Shida not taking a pin here. She said, fuck all that.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. This is good. I feel like Ty Conti is really starting to come into our own here on this show.
Yeah, I agree.
We get a Jurassic Park promo. Jungle Boy says, hey guys, we got a match. they bring up Godzilla versus Kong. Apparently this match is sponsored by that movie.
which is pretty sweet.
Okay, that's cool.
Marco has a Kong tattoo on his arm. Luchasaurus is pissed.
Everybody gets pissed. They walk off. It's so good.
Yeah, so apparently this match next week is literally sponsored by the movie, which, have you seen that yet?
Mm-mm, I have not watched it yet.
I just watched it last night, man. It's pretty kick-ass, actually. So we have the main event of the night, Miro and Kip versus Orange and Chuck. Arcade Anarchy match is what they're calling this. This is the first time Orange Cassidy has had his new Pixies theme song, and well, at least on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And dude, wow, this is good. It's really good.
Like, where it really, is my mind?
Really where adds to this.
Yeah, it's so good.
They have a ticket booth set up where you can buy weapons with tickets or just grab the weapons, whatever you want to do. They have arcade cabinets set up in the crowd. They have an air hockey table beside the ring. They really added a bunch of stuff. Apparently, Chuck and Orange got drunk and wrote up how they wanted this match to look and then gave it to Tony Khan. He just made it like that.
That's good. Yeah.
Kip gets sent through a whack-a-mole machine, and then Orange Cassidy whacks his head with a mallet.
With the mallet, yeah. And then Miro runs in, and then doesn't he use the mallet, but he just like
he just beats Charles with the fucking mallet, yeah.
Like as hard as he can. Oh, it's crazy.
Miro very adamant he didn't want to be here. Chuck then does a diving sledge off the top of the Mortal Kombat machine. I thought that was pretty cool. Miro gets fucking lit up by Orange and Chuck. Orange hit him with a trash can lid like 2 million times in the head. I mean, just Miro just kept putting his arms up. He's like, please fucking stop. I'm begging you to stop. And he just kept hitting it. It was awesome.
Yeah, this is when they were taking weapons off the little prize thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't even, look at that. They just stealing. They didn't even use the damn ticket.
At one point, Shivani points out that 20,000 tickets for a steel chair, and Jim Ross just goes, like audibly, like he's just like, oh, 20.
I know Charles didn't have 20,000 tickets, that piece of shit. They literally just pile everything on Miro, the whole gimmick table, the whole barricade, everything they got over there. They just throw it on top of Miro and they go for a pin, but Kip breaks it up. I like they didn't kick out. Kip had to break it up. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because he had like the whack-a-mole machine on him and everything was on.
Yeah, they literally just piled the whole fucking thing on him. Kept John Wood Orange to the gimmick wall by the ticket booth. Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. Chuck then grabs the teddy bear, and I was like, what's he going to do with this? And then I saw on the back it was gimmicked, and I said, oh, my God.
Oh, God.
He loads it in the ring. It's a gimmicked bear with Legos in it. Tony Schiavone goes, there's Legos! There's Legos! And then JR goes, oh, Tony! What the fuck?
Oh, Tony Lego. And then Tony Giovanni says the weirdest fucking line of all time. Did you catch this line?
No, what did he say?
Says, this reminds me of the 90s with a bunch of young brats. I was like, what the fuck?
What? What do you mean by that?
I don't know what he was talking about. This is crazy, though.
Oh,
I think
Tony.
Jim Ross got into it, though. At first, he was like, oh, fuck, Legos. But then he actually saw it, and he thought it was cool, I think.
Tony, yeah, he did. Kip hits a sit-out bomb on Charles onto the Legos for a two. Orange and hits the beach break for a two, and then hits the orange punch. Penelope drags Aubrey out of the ring before the three. And then she hits Orange into yam bags.
Yam bags.
Then Penelope takes off her belt. And JR goes, what's she going to do with that? No, you need to calm down, buddy. Then she goes to hit Orange with it. Orange is right beside a UFO catcher. And Chris Statlander stood up in the UFO catcher. And she's back. How fucking cool is this?
Sick. Yeah, that was so cool. She like pops out, pushes the glass right into Penelope's face like immediately. It was such a good visual.
Dude, so unreal. So cool. Statlander then fucking drove Penelope through the air hockey table. Dude, holy shit. That was a hell of a bump, dude. That was good looking, too.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Miro looking to end this match, but we are not over yet. Chuck and Orange are crawling towards the parking lot. And then Sue, she comes in with the van. And Trent is back, too. Holy shit. This match is incredible, man. Miro gets pissed off. He waves at Sue. That's funny. He goes over to the van and tries to attack Sue. Trent is pissed.
I don't know what the fuck he was gonna do here. He like grabbed onto the windshield wiper because I think he was slipping off the front of the van.
It was very movie-esque. It was very movie-esque. He goes to like jump through the windshield or something. So Trent's pissed in full denim. This dude's a maniac. Miro throws an entire Mortal Kombat cabinet at Trent. Trent then moves and then throws a chair at his head. And then he spears him through a table. Very brutal. Good looking stuff. Chuck then hits a running power slam on Kip off the stage through a group of tables. Huge bump. I can't believe this match fucking just happened. This was so good. Like, literally maybe one of the best segments, one of the best matches that AEW Dynamite has had. It was the returns, the spots, the emotion that we've built on this forever and ever and ever. And then we get, you got to give the people what they want at the end, baby. The best friends hugging. And then Chris Statlander came in for the hug. Oh, my God. And then they thumbs up Sue. They all thumbs up Sue. Dude, I don't know why this match made me emotional. I wrote down, am I emotional, man? It was so good.
Holy shit. Everything that you wanted. And hopefully this is the end of the Miro, Kip Sabian, best friends thing, right?
That was perfect, dude. Wow. Yeah. Statlander coming back, and then Trent, and then Statlander coming in for the hug, and she joined in with best friends, and there was so much here. It was so good. Oh, wow. What a perfect match. Perfect way to bring those two back. Just everything played out perfectly. I can't imagine anyone like not liking this. This was just...
No, this I thought it was great, dude.
Oh, Tony! Why did you say that?
Reminds you of those 90s little kid brats that hate kids.
What are you talking about, Shivani? Oh, Tony! Miro.
Oh,
this is great, man.
This is a great show, top to bottom, man. I love everything about it, dude.
Agree with you, absolutely. Dynamite was... Dynamite! And with that, we're on the time! We gotta go! We gotta go!